I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Playoff basketball is a different game.
You got numbers if they push it.
Middleton gives it on to Kupo! Flying down the lane.
This is a playoff week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Red Tail Golf Center Spring Tent Sale. Friday, April 20th through Sunday the 22nd. Up to 50% off everything golf. Visit golfredtail.com for more details.
Lillard spinning with a left hand. He sets up and tosses a three and hits another one. Damian Lillard is just being ridiculous now.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I'm happy, definitely.
The Fan.
Let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Thursday. Hope your Thursdays are going well. Thanks for being with us right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fam. Beautiful, beautiful day today. You know what I might have to say every single day that it's sunny on the show now from here on out? Great day for an afternoon baseball game.
Yeah, I think we should keep doing that until the day we have a baseball team.
Great day. Imagine a day baseball game today. Sign me up, buddy.
You know what would be interesting is if they got the PPS building. And they're over there by the Moda Center. I want to know the boat situation on the Willamette here.
Yeah, like, what the visibility is, how many people are going to be out there during games.
Yeah, and I just want to know if it picks up and then, like, what that looks like.
Yeah.
Because you would imagine if it's over there, don't they do something to where they can highlight downtown out from the ballpark?
You have to. That's definitely the direction
that's
got to go.
Wouldn't that make the most sense?
If that's where the build, yeah, I mean, if that's where you build a ballpark, that's the direction you face out.
And I know a lot of people still don't buy it, and that's, you know, that's fine. I get it, man. I've lived here my whole life. But
sure.
The one thing I'm looking forward to, sketch renderings.
When that step happens.
I just want to see what they're thinking if they could ever get to that point of building it.
Right.
What they're imagining it look like. And I want to see how close that is to what I'm hoping it looks like.
Yeah, a couple of quick updates on that, by the way, because we want to keep talking about that story. There's just not a whole lot new that comes out on a day-to-day basis with it. But basically what we continue to hear from folks involved with the group, because one of the main concerns has been where you're getting all the money to build, you know, to buy the land, build the ballpark, and then what about buying a team or paying an expansion fee? Because that's a whole nother set of costs. And basically folks from the group have continued to come out. Kerry Agris had some stuff in his article today where everybody around them is saying, just don't worry. We're not revealing names and folks who are behind it right now financially. But they're just trying to calm people down and say, "Don't, we got this figured out. The money is there. That's not the problem."
Yeah, Agers, I don't know how many people saw this yet, but Kerry Agers did write a piece about it. And, I mean, he thinks it's going to be up to $1 billion for the land and the stadium itself. And then
sure.
he notes that because of the way expansion and, you know, if you don't go relocation, assuming they go expansion, the way teams are being valued, they're looking at this as the possibility of another billion. So you're looking at $2 billion price tag. Which leaves everybody around here going, yeah, you're not getting this.
Where's the $2 billion coming from?
He says that he has talked to enough people that are involved or close to it. They seem to have no concerns. They have all the money they need to make this thing happen.
Yeah, and which is a great sign because I understand why that was a big hurdle folks thought you would have to cross. And
but see, that needs to get out there because we had Tubbs in the building. Kurt Ludwig came up to us pre-show and said KGW did a poll on this. And said, basically, do you want it in the ESCO area? Do you want it where by the Moda Center?
The PPS building ESCO or?
Or do you not want baseball? And he says, what did he say? 26% said no baseball. And then the responses to it were basically like, you're not getting any of my money. You need to start telling your friends or your family or whoever, if they ever combat you with, we're not giving them a dime, it needs to be put out there more. This is private money. And I know that they're going to try to make their rounds or release information when they can.
Yeah.
But we need to be aware of this now. That way all of us can be on board and be okay with this. Because if it doesn't cost you a dime, there's nothing you need to care or worry about.
Right.
You can hate baseball. You can boycott going to games.
Sure.
I'm fine with that. But if it costs you nothing, why do you care? That's an area that's not even being used right now.
Haven't figured that one out
yet. It's a rat nest over there.
Right.
So if they can get a stadium there and it's privately funded and a team is brought here, expansion or relocation, and that's funded by itself privately, that is the only concern people that are against it have. And it needs to be put out there more. This is a private situation they've got.
Yeah, and you know, look, there's going to be some city involvement at some point, whether it's zoning issues or fixing the traffic patterns, you know, max lines if you're going over, you know, to the non-downtown area. There will be city concerns, but it's not going to be publicly financing a ballpark, which I think is important to note. And we are efforting, and it sounds like it will happen early next week. We have reached out, and he says he's down to come on, having City Commissioner Nick Fish come on the show.
I talked to him before the show a little bit on the phone. He was really nice, and he couldn't do it today because of scheduling conflict. But, yeah, he said early next week he'd love to come on, and I'd love to bring him on.
So we'll ask him about, you know, just kind of the city's perspective on things, what his thoughts are, and so it'll be interesting to get their take on it.
Because you brought up a good point when we talked about this pre-show. You had the point of, you know, the perception of the whole thing and how people are viewing this. And people, when you say a price tag of $2 billion, instantly go, well, who around us has $2
billion? I'm not paying for that.
Phil Knight's not going to do it. He's running Oregon. Right, that's fine. This doesn't have to be a local person. The group in Seattle, and I know they eventually will get a basketball team and a hockey team is coming, but the group in Seattle that almost got the Kings to relocate from Sacramento, Chris Hansen, he lives in California.
Right.
He's a Seattle guy, and that's why he obviously has the tie to wanting the Sonics back, but he is a California resident. So you can go down to Silicon Valley, and I bet you this group, knowing, you know, they did the due diligence, and if they're putting in a, what was it reportedly, $100 million for that land, whatever that price tag is.
Yeah.
If they're putting in that bid, it's because they know who they need to have actually on their side and ready to go when they need that person or people or group, whatever. And I'd be willing to wager, if that person's not from here, that's not a concern. It's probably somebody, whether it's California, East Coast, Midwest, may have some tie here,
right,
and feels just as strongly emotionally about bringing baseball to Portland.
Well, and it doesn't even have to just be that, too. It could just be a great financial opportunity for them. You know, Rob had that. He was talking to some folks, assuming that were connected with the group, and he was hearing, and Kerry Eggers reiterated the sentiment that it was just some big money in the Bay Area that was involved in this as well. Ironically, they might be stealing a Bay Area team. But there were just some folks down there that saw it as a financial opportunity, an investment. Maybe they like the city of Portland for whatever reason, but they're throwing some money behind this as well. And the main thing that I've heard from the group that has reassured me of my optimism about this whole thing, because every time it gets brought up, you get the generic, this is a pipe dream, stop dreaming, guys, not going to happen. But I have maintained from day one, especially with all the steps that we've heard, and the latest is putting in the offers to buy the two parcels of land. The offer was, what, $80 million or something for the PPS building. Might have to go up north of $100 million if it ends up selling. And the group has reiterated this, of that we're not doing this kind of stuff without everything else figured out. Like, they're not taking these level of steps to buy a huge chunk of land in downtown Portland by the Moda Center.
Right.
If you don't have ballpark renderings, knowing where all the money's going to come from, knowing how many seats you want, knowing whether there's a retractable roof, knowing whether you've talked to, you know, baseball officials about expansion or relocation, knowing if the money's there to buy a ball club to bring it or pay for that expansion fee. They have all said, everybody in the group, that we're not doing this unless we have all that other stuff figured out. You're not going to take a step and offer $80 million for a piece of land just kind of hoping it all falls into place. They've ironed all of those out.
When listener says it's Elon Musk and he's going to have hyper tubes to the games, that would be pretty kick-ass,
wouldn't
it?
That'd be, man.
Everybody has like little hubs depending on where you end your workday. And there's a line like there is for a busy Max, and you just wait your turn to go down to the tubes to the ballpark. And Deal says maybe Spray gets some picks right and puts $100 into baseball.
There you go, man.
Hey, throw if I want in. Enough money, I'd have no problem being a part of that group and doing whatever it takes. But the thing I want to get across, because I know there is a really decent chunk of people that just shake in their head when we bring this topic up, and they will refuse to believe this until probably it's a reality. Why do we have to live that way? I love this city. I don't want to have to move. I want to do sports radio here. If I could do this for 30 or 40 or 50 years, I'd do it. I love sports. I love to talk about sports. I want to be here. And as long as I'm here, I want more for our city. there are a lot of conditions, and this is what I was joking about yesterday with Ted Wheeler. I would love to talk to Ted Wheeler. I'd love for anybody on our station to talk to Ted Wheeler. The one thing I think we can all agree on, whether you're right, left, voted for him, did whatever, that dude has made and created something for sports fans where both sides don't care about their affiliation. This city is not perfect. This could be a money-generating situation. You have a group that wants no money from you as a city.
Yeah.
And it's a great opportunity to grow your market even more than it already is. And again, we are already not a perfect market without baseball. I'm just tired of living in this, well, it's not going to happen, I'm moving on now. I'm not telling you we're going to talk about this every day. We won't. But and when we get news about it, we're bringing it up. If we hear something, we're bringing it up.
Or we're going to have somebody newsworthy on the show.
I'm not going to allow my dream of having another pro sports team here in baseball to just die. I'm tired of that way of thinking. I'm tired with us just going on to the next thing. This is a real group with real ideas and real forward thinking. And I know they haven't given us much info, but that is the best part about it. I think they know what they're doing and they understand how to go about doing this. They have huge hurdles, there's no doubt, but I'm not going to let this die. And you can tell me I'm living a pipe dream and I'm a moron. That's fine. But when baseball is here and I'm there on opening day, come tell me that you told me I was an idiot, but then we'll get a beer and it'll be okay.
We'll stare into the river and watch some home runs fly out of the ballpark.
I just refuse to allow that dream and idea to die, especially with a group that not only has the finances, but it's all privately funded, and they have the same emotion tied into wanting to make it happen.
Amen, man. Couldn't have said it better myself. So we're hoping to, we might try and get Carey on because he's pretty connected with this. Wrote an article about it, really good, on the Tribune today. And Nick Fish, city commissioner, is going to join us likely early next week. We'll talk to him about the city's perspective and all this stuff. So we'll keep you up to date with everything we learn about the Major League Baseball to Portland venture. Bottom of the hour, back into the Blazers Pelicans. Do you still have any faith that they can make a series out of this thing? Down 0-2 again. Game 3 is tonight, but it's been a while since we've had edition of Swag's Plums, and I can't wait to see what he's got cooked up. Swag's Plums next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in 219. Bottom of the hour, get back into the Blazer-Pelicans series, Game 3 tonight. Should we do our picks to click again?
Swags didn't hold up
Swags,
very well.
Yours didn't pan out too well.
He literally tripped on his face the minute he came. If you remember, he came in and he tripped and committed a foul.
He did.
I was surprised you guys didn't mention anything yesterday.
I've had spraying the line moments that are not great. Yeah. So I kind of just sympathized with you and said, I'm not going to bring it up. We have listeners that brought it up, though.
Yeah, that was one of the first texts we got into the show yesterday. Hey, Swag, great pick to click yesterday. Yeah, when you pick the Patriots in week one of a survivor pool and you lose on the opening night of the NFL season, you tend to let predictions like that slide from time to time. So we've all been there.
Just ride the Wade Baldwin train.
Double down on Baldwin. I like that. Also, a pick is for sale in the NFL draft, which asks us, how much does it cost? We'll do that to close out the show.
Can the fan afford it?
And a boost to a playoff game potentially tonight. Close out the show with those two things. But Swag's Plums, it's been a while since we've had one of these. We've had Mike's Plums and Russ Plums and Joe's Plums.
Yeah. So first I want to know, who had the best crop of plums? Whose were the ripest?
This is a controversial thing.
Everybody had a different strategy with the plums.
Oh, I understand.
Mike has one plum.
Mike goes one plum and one plum only for the whole segment.
Oh, and he just drone. Yeah.
Okay. Rust basically just tells you what national day it is, and there's like 50 of them.
Well, I know. I peruse it because I do have a couple in here. But
hot take, I'm gonna go Joe.
I filter.
You think Joe's plums are the best?
Yeah.
Joe's got good plums. Yeah. Joe mixes it up. You never know where Joe's coming from because he's a little younger. So, you know, you got your preconceived notions, but he'll surprise you.
Yeah, Mike's plums were interesting. There just were not enough of them.
He only gives me one plum.
He only had one, but they were good. His two plums were good. It was all he had. For
I need
2 weeks.
More than one plum.
Yeah, I got more.
All right. Well, we will start with a couple of national days. It is National Garlic Day. April 19th is National Garlic Day.
I love me some garlic.
Do not like garlic.
I put garlic on all sorts of stuff.
Garlic is a good flavor, and I use it, but not very much of it, or I...
I was going to say, how can you... I mean, there's garlic in
most Asian... It
makes
me really gassy.
Well, you're married. What the hell?
Yeah, let it fly.
No,
I don't. That's right. You don't fart in front of your wife.
Right.
Dude, you're robbing yourself of a great flavor. Because
I just
to acknowledge.
You, I use it. I just limit it. My guts hurt, man. I can't do too much garlic.
No.
I use garlic.
There's like garlic and onions in everything I cook just about. So yeah. Sorry. The other one is it's National Amaretto Day. You guys know what amaretto is? Almond liqueur.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. It's one of those drinks. It's funny. All these brands now and these kind of lost along spirits are trying to figure out how they can get back in the mainstream, amaretto being one of them.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just your time not to get back in.
Sometimes your time is past you.
But I came across Food & Wine. Okay. So Food & Wine magazine also has a website, foodandwine.com. So they had three kind of amaretto cocktails rather than trying to... The most famous of which is the amaretto sour.
Yeah.
And if you go old school, it's fairly complicated because you're using an egg white and That's a whole thing. So if you are serious about it. But they had a couple other ones that I thought would appeal to you. One is the Susquehanna. And so it's got 100 proof rye, amaretto, dash of Angostura bitters.
Ooh.
And then you finish it with a lemon peel. You kind of twist it, rub it. Serve it in a highball glass on the rocks.
Can we change the name?
That sounds pretty good.
That's a delicious drink.
And Susquehanna.
I like the name of that.
I would screw it up every time.
Yeah, you wouldn't know how to say it.
Susquehanna.
What?
Susquehanna.
That was the intermediate drink. Now, if you need the beginner drink, the easy drink, you just go amaretto and ginger. Basically, shot of amaretto, 4 ounces of ginger beer, lime, ice, boom, nice spring day.
That might be their way in because right now Moscow Mules are big.
Yep.
And if you can splash yourself into the Moscow ginger beer crowd.
Take some ginger away.
They're going to be interested.
People are saying with 7-Up it tastes good. Somebody said with Flaming Dr. Pepper. Two people have texted in with Flaming Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Somebody said with Coke it's really good. Keeping it simple. Now, I will ask this. As somebody who's never had it, if you don't like almonds...
If you don't like almonds, then you're probably,
probably out on this drink.
But it is, so it's a sweeter, lower alcohol, a liqueur.
I can't do almonds.
Really?
And I can't stand the flavor or eating an almond.
Outrage. You can't have almonds? What's your problem?
Okay, it's much more normal
I
to not like almonds.
I dice up almonds and always put them on my ice cream.
Said nobody ever. You're literally the only person in the building that eats almonds, and it's kind of weird.
I eat almonds all the time. I love almonds.
So the whole time you've been sitting behind me, watch me eat almonds, and you're just thinking, that dude's weird.
That's weird, man. Why is he just eating almonds?
Wow. Do you like bear claws?
No.
You don't eat bear claws?
I don't eat
he
bear claws.
He doesn't do sweets much.
I'm not a sweets guy in the first place, but yeah, okay. Not a big bear claw guy. So I'll try it. I'll be curious to see how strong the flavor is.
Yeah, it's different. So it does have a little sweetness to it, but it's not super sweet like fruit liqueurs, like Chambord or anything like that. But yeah, if you mix it up with the ginger beer there, a little slice of lime, as you are figuring out what to do with all of your wonderful afternoons and evenings here over the next week.
Here's your drink of the day.
There you go. It's National Amaretto Day. Okay, the big news is Sunday night, the season premiere Westworld Season 2, HBO, 6 p.m.
Are you a Westworld fan?
Yes.
You're pulling a Mike Lynch. This was his plum last
week. Oh.
This is an upset for me. I would have never pegged Swigart as a Westworld.
Mr. I Don't Like Fantasy is into Westworld. What happened
here?
Well,
but it's more based on, one, I like good, really good, like involved throw plot twists at you, try and figure it out sort of thing.
I'm very frustrated by these comments. You have poo-pooed every show that we've given you. And you're, I'm not into it. And they're all shows that do that. And now suddenly Westworld does that?
Which shows?
Game of Thrones would be the main one.
Nothing throws more at you than Game of Thrones.
It's medieval. This is robots.
There's a medieval world of some sort that they plug into or whatever.
Hey,
Westworld's
everybody's
about.
Got their thing. You know, I'm that way about zombies. Everybody has tried to get me to watch The Walking Dead forever.
I'm not a zombie.
I just think zombies.
Somebody gets eaten.
You're trying to survive.
But apparently, according to an article here at their website, kind of what to expect. It sounds like total mass chaos. Hmm.
Why did you get into this show?
Well,
if I showed you the trailer, you would say not into the sci-fi or whatever that is.
Well, the wife was watching it.
So that's what we need to do.
So we need to get Lady Swag into shows.
Whenever Lady Swag's into Swag, eventually will be too drunk to say no to it, and then he will be into it.
She worked on me for a while.
What if like you walked into your room in your tidy whities with a drink in your hand? And you go, what do you watch?
Drinking an Amaretto tonight? Watching some Westworld reruns?
So, but Mass just supposed to be quite the thing, and
the trailer looks amazing, and I haven't seen an episode.
Amazing Sunday night. And they're saying just literally all hell going to break loose as the, I forget what they're, what are the robots called essentially?
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
You've never seen it?
I've never watched Westworld. I've heard great things. It's on my shows to watch list, but I've not started it yet.
I will catch up with the wife. I'll start Sunday.
You're going to dive in, huh?
I'll make a promise. We'll watch the first two, and if I'm hooked, we'll probably catch up very quickly to everybody watching season two.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
All right.
I still got to finish Wild Wild Country, too.
You do.
Yeah, Wild Wild Country was great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I saw your dad's friend.
Yeah.
That's all I kept thinking about when I saw him. Yeah. Like, dude, Swag knows that guy.
He's telling me stories about them when they were 11 shooting pheasants out in some giant ranch field somewhere.
Now, you have to forgive me. You know how sometimes you get drunk, you embellish things a little bit? You realize it when you say it? I embellished it right away, and I said, hey, that's Swag's best friend.
That's where you went with the story.
And the wife was like, what? And I'm like, wait, no.
Hold on.
That's Swag's
stepdad's
best friend.
Childhood friend, yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Clear that up. Couple more indications that April 30th could be a huge day if the Supreme Court finally rules on the betting case with New Jersey. The Major League Baseball and NBA are divesting their ownership in the Daily Fantasy, so FanDuel and DraftKings, they are pulling money out.
Hmm.
So that just got on ESPN Chalk. That article just went up.
That's a pretty big deal.
And then also, are you guys familiar with TVG Network? It is the horse racing television channel.
No.
So they're based in California. Yeah, if you scroll through the nether regions of your cable, if you have you'll run into this.
Okay.
And so they basically just show all the horse races from all the major tracks all around the country. And I think there's a way to get an account and you can wager. But they are prepared. They've been working with a company, I think, in Ireland on the back end. And also other companies that go into gambling, the technology of the online gambling, that sort of thing. And having partnerships. Because if and when the case is overturned and everybody starts gambling for real on sports, they'll be prepared. They haven't. They have leases in their office building. They're down in Southern California, right near LAX. Hmm. And there's all this empty space, and their landlord's been trying to give them up to get other clients, and they're holding on to it in anticipation of being ready to go.
What does it mean for the leagues to pull out of DraftKings and FanDuel to you?
It means they're ready to go with legalized
gambling. I think it
gambling.
Means they believe those things aren't going to be viable.
Yeah, and nobody's going to play that.
And they don't want to go down with
the
ship.
Yeah, they don't need to waste money on fantasy.
Why would you play daily fantasy if you could actually bet on games?
Yeah.
And, there'd be no point. You bet on over-unders. You could do... Yeah, there's no point. By the way, would you have me thinking now of like a fun guys' night of just drinking and watching those horse races and throwing like $20 a person in on every race?
You got to make sure you have nobody that knows
Just randomly picking. Like, all right, you just pick the name you want. There's like seven of them. And there's probably races every half hour.
I have Xfinity, and you can get a 4K cable box now. So there's like another range of channels in the thousands. That's like 4K channels.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
That's a good plums right there.
So there you go. April 30th is the next day that opinions will be released by the Supreme Court of the United States. And I think there's a lot of indications that the New Jersey case is going to be ruled upon then.
11 days from now. It could happen. 11 days. Think about that. How nuts would that be? Good stuff. Swag's Plums every Thursday at 2:15. All right. Let's get back into the Blazers and Pelicans. Game 3 tonight down in New Orleans. Is all hope lost with you? Or wait and see. Wait and see what happens tonight. Next. Hey, welcome back in. 2:37. Got some stuff to get to in the final segment of the show. Elway with some comments. Some positive news for an NBA fan base. We've also had a office debate and Twitter debate all day at Dirt and Sprague on. Is it soda or is it pop? Or is it soda pop?
Depends on what
part of the country are you from.
Part of the country. I believe on the East Coast, it's soda. Out West, it's pop.
We had somebody from, I believe, New England or New Hampshire, somewhere up northeast, who said, I moved here a while back. We used to call it tonic.
I've never heard that one.
What?
Tonic. No, tonic is a specific.
Yeah. He said
that's
he
tonic.
Called, he said we called all
what
of
goes
that
with
stuff.
My gin.
Exactly. I had a cousin move from Oklahoma to the West Coast, and it was actually funny. We still make fun of him. He got so irate that we didn't call it pop every time. He started crying and yelling at us and telling us we were idiots. My mom was like, well, I'm sorry, but do you want any of this soda? He just lost his mind. It was hilarious.
Yeah, so you can send your thoughts in on that 55305. Question for you on the game tonight. So game three, most people seem to reside in the fact that it's all over, but there is some optimism that's left out there. And, yeah, the old cliche, you take it one game at a time, you win tonight, maybe you're right back into the series. But a question for you just on pressure, and I want to ask, which of these three guys do you think is under the most pressure tonight? So you got Dame, who has played poorly in the first two games of the series. He's the face of the franchise, and he has not shown up.
Yeah.
You have CJ McCollum, who's the more criticized of your great backcourt, and he has not been awesome. And then you have Yusuf Nurkic, who disappeared basically in both games. He got a little banged up in game two, and he's playing for a big contract.
Well, he's not going to get a big contract. I think Bobby Marks kind of just... he threw that at us months ago, and I've just kind of remained firm in that opinion. He may get decently paid. He's not going to get a big contract. This is an easy one for me. It's a no-brainer. Damian Lillard has gotten far more criticism than CJ McCollum. I don't know about the local part of that, but I'll tell you right now, when you talk about Trailblazers nationally, it's about how Damian Lillard has not played well. CJ McCollum has almost escaped all of the criticism. Locally, I think people have been very disappointed with what we've seen from CJ. Just in the sense of Damian has had most of the traps and double teams sent at him, whereas CJ is kind of given a little more free reign and hasn't done anything for them. He had one little run in the second quarter, and yeah, he had a nice fourth quarter comeback, but again, hasn't been the CJ McCollum we saw for a lot of the season. So for me, this is a no-brainer. Most pressure, it's on CJ McCollum. Damian Lillard, from a national standpoint, will have more because he's the talking point for some. Locally, for me, I care more about CJ going out there and being CJ McCollum and not going out there and being 9 of 21 from the field and looking passive. I'll never forget game four watching that last year. He quit. He checked out. He said 3-0. We're facing the Warriors. We're done. He's not wrong, but Damian Lillard went out there and played like a guy that said, screw this. I'm going to go out with a bang. You gave that guy $100 million. I want to see CJ McCollum turn this around. That's where I would point the pressure.
I think there's far more pressure on Damian Lillard because he is the headliner. His ability to force the Pelicans to do something else then creates everything for everybody else on this team. He hasn't been able to do that yet. Maybe it goes hand in hand with head coach Terry Stotts to try and figure out maybe he's got to be on the ball less. Maybe he can't start on the ball. Maybe they need to bring him off screens, try and lose a couple of those defenders and bring him to the ball later. Let CJ, let Mo Harkless, let Evan Turner, who's ever going to be that three, start the offense and use Dame coming off of it so he doesn't have as much traffic when he's trying to make moves. But it's all on him. The Trailblazers, we saw, you know, we talked yesterday how much Zach Collins gave him a good performance, sure. What Mo Harkless did coming back from two or three weeks out with injury, some of the other stuff, but none of
it
matters.
Even Aminu was good for
and
three.
Aminu, and none of it matters if Dame isn't Dame.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, I'm curious where people come in on that, 55305, because we've had differing texts, you know, CJ for sure.
But we know, Dame. This is why I can't agree with the Dame thing. I Swagger, you're not wrong, but I would just say for us here in this city, we know who Dame is. We've seen Dame be big in the postseason time and time again. We know, even after this series, if they get swept or whatever, if they go in and they had lost, we're not going to suddenly think Damian Lillard doesn't know how to play basketball at a high level.
Yeah, that's not the topic this offseason, even if he doesn't play well tonight or Saturday.
Damian Lillard will still be a top 10 player in this league. CJ McCollum is the one that we have to be looking at, right? $100 million player. He's not been an all-star. Your GM is completely committed to him, doesn't want any part of any idea of separating those two, and he's having just as bad a series, but nobody talks about it from a national standpoint. That's why it's CJ for me.
We got a poll question, too, at Thurton Sprigg on Twitter. Game three tonight in New Orleans. Is the series already over? 46% of people saying no. They win tonight, they're right back in it. Where do you come down or come in on that question? Also, the pressure debate of CJ or Dame. We'll talk a little bit more about game three. We also have a draft pick for sale and some positive news, potentially, for an NBA fan base. Next on The Fan. Well, it all comes down tonight for Blazer fans. Game three in New Orleans, 6 o'clock tip. Got a couple other, you got one other game before that. And we'll be going on basically at the same time as Golden State San Antonio. That's the TNT game tonight.
Yeah, we've been relegated to NBA TV.
I can't blame them. These are the two probably least interesting teams maybe in the West.
But this has been far and away the best series in the postseason. Even with a 1-1 split, yeah, these games have been the most entertaining.
Well, I'll give you game two. Game two was in it. Game one sucked. Game one with Blazers
were awful.
They had
a furious comeback in the second half.
They scored 36 points in the first half. That game was unwatchable for three quarters.
Not if you like Anthony Davis.
Nah, yeah. Game two was really good. I'll give you that. That would, no matter who you're rooting for, if you just tune in as a basketball fan.
What series has given you more entertainment?
I know I got to go look at what.
Can't give me Philly.
Done.
They won by like 30
no,
points.
No, they won
in
by 30.
One.
Philly won big.
The Celtics series game one was unbelievable, but game two, they kind of had
what about the Washington wasn't good in game
okay,
two.
OKC, Utah.
Yeah, that's
game
been
one was a blowout.
Not till late.
Yeah, and last night you had a good back and forth game. In
last
game
night
two.
Was good.
Last night was great game.
Game one wasn't meh.
That's
the
a hot take.
The Pacers-Cavs series.
That game one sucked. I watched that whole thing. They were up like 20 points the whole game.
Yeah, they let, and then Cleveland tried to come back in it. That was a pretty, they've all, yeah. All, most games have had one good game and one bad game, is how I would assess
it. I'm voting Blazers Pelicans.
Like Milwaukee Boston game one's been the best game of the playoffs.
The Middleton shot was
right?
unreal.
So, but then game two, they beat them by 14.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Toronto Washington game one of that series was really good. And then game two, they won 130 to 119.
I guess the difference in those games versus the game one for Portland is those teams held on and won by 15 to 20 points.
Sure.
Portland came back. Had that comeback in game one.
Yeah, they found a way back into it. Well, Vegas has finally flipped. I don't know if this is the weak home court advantage of New Orleans that's doing it for them. But Vegas has the Pelicans as a four-point favorite tonight. So let's roundtable this bad boy. Without your keys to the game, we'll save those for another day.
Yeah.
What's the outcome tonight? Do they get a win or is it a 3-0 hole? What's the spread?
Oh, we're not doing picks to click, huh?
Well, you can give your pick to click if you would like to give
we
your
have
pick
to do click. The pick to click.
All right, we'll double down on picks to click. All right, give me your pick to click, your winner, okay. And your spread coverer.
Mo Harkless, in a starting role, ooh, will have a big night because I think the Pelicans are still focused of the belief, and it's worked so far, if we throw everything at Dame, they don't have enough else to beat us. I think Mo's big tonight.
My pick to click is going to be CJ McCollum.
Oh, you're going with the guy you just said needed to have a big game.
Yeah, I'm going to call him out, and I'm going to say he's the pick to click, and I think Portland wins. Let's just try this because I've said the Pelicans twice now. And
yeah, your reverse jinx is done with.
My reverse jinx died. Portland wins tonight 106-99, and we open the show tomorrow, and people are really conflicted of how to feel about this series.
How about that? So then not only do they win, yeah. Okay, winning on the road, make it 2-1.
By the way, not super confident in anything I just said. So
that's the beauty of it. I will take Damian Lillard to have the bounce back performance tonight. I doubled down in game two and I was wrong, and I'm going to triple down on this thing, and I'm going to say tonight is the night he finds his stroke. Remember the last time he was in New Orleans, he had that 40-point game, huge fourth quarter comeback, so maybe it's a bit of a comfort zone for him. Sense of urgency. He's 31% in the darn series. That just has to turn around at some point. I think it does tonight.
This game is on Comcast, right?
Yes. That's as the only channel you can watch it. You can't watch it on NBA TV.
Yeah, NBA that's TV right. is still blacked out that's in right, the local okay. market, so right, you only have one option.
Well, yeah, and I guess, does NBA TV even have national broadcasters, or do they pick up the feed when they show playoff games?
No, they usually have their own.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they use the Turner guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there's our picks. Game is tonight. Who are you taking to win tonight, Swag?
Taking the Pelicans until I see something significantly different that gives me faith that it can sustain, you know, outside of the Blazers just going berserk from three-point range. But there is no evidence that that's likely.
Yeah, I, too, will take New Orleans. I've given up hope. Hope I'm wrong, because it would make the show a lot more enjoyable tomorrow, and we wouldn't be looking forward to exit interviews. And will they get swept, or will it be a gentleman's sweep and they'll make New Orleans fly back across the country? But I will
take a lot of NFL schedule breakdown tomorrow.
Yeah, if New Orleans wins this game in a landslide, no doubt about it.
Coming up next, what's the summer hold for the Trailblazers? And game four is in a day.
Yeah, one other thing to point out to you about the NBA slate tonight. I've seen this a couple of different places. Shams, I think, was first, maybe Woj beat him, but Joel Embiid expected to play tonight.
Yeah, he's probable.
Yeah, against Miami. He said, quote, he's expected to play in game three, barring any setbacks. He likely will wear a mask and goggles.
Ooh.
So he's going to be out there looking like Phantom of the Opera with some goggles added on top of it.
Well, nerdy Phantom of the Opera.
So Embiid back. Apparently his Instagram rants after losing game two about being frustrated because they were babying him, they've worked, and he's back on the floor tonight.
Yeah, to the point where he took the old Instagram post and he scratched off most of his original, and he said, no longer allowing to be babied tonight. So he got his way.
I like that. So that's something to keep an eye on. There's a little added intrigue for game three between Miami and Philly. That, by the way, is the first game of the TNT doubleheader, 4 o'clock. And then that is followed by Golden State, San Antonio. No Popovich tonight. His wife sadly passed away yesterday. So Popovich is out tonight for San Antonio. I'm sure it'll be an emotional night for that team, but they are down in an 0-2 hole going back home for game three. One other note on this, just the sports world in general today. We saw this earlier and we just kind of chuckled. And it's something we'll track in the coming days. And we just wondered what the cost is. John Elway came out. The Broncos are the number 5 pick in the draft. He said number 5, it's for sale.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's been mentioned before, but I feel like usually they say it's like up for grabs or willing to trade out. To say it's for sale made me wonder, is there a price tag for this? Can the fan buy it?
How much? What's the cost here? Can we buy it? Can we buy the number 5 pick and just go buy like a guard out of Notre Dame, bring him into the station.
Start a GoFundMe account real quick.
What do you think, man?
How much do you think we'd get for a GoFundMe to buy the 5th pick in the NFL draft?
A lot of money.
Think we get 6 figures?
Raised from fans?
Right.
No. No chance in hell.
No chance in hell?
Maybe 4. 4 for lucky.
4,000?
No, 4 figures.
Oh, yeah.
So. All right. Well, hopefully we got a positive show tomorrow. Either way, as we open the show with win or lose for the Blazers tonight, if you get down in the dumps and you're thinking about, once again, being stuck in NBA purgatory and your season being over, go walk around in your backyard or something, because it's going to be beautiful tonight, and it's going to be beautiful tomorrow as well. There's always a silver lining, folks. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Tweet it out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080thefan as well. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday. Number one is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.